Turn to Luke chapter 2. I'd ask that you just stand up, and I want to read God's word and the passage of scripture that we're going to cover today. So let us stand. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went away with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, as it has been told to them. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask that you would take this word, dear Lord, and let it pierce up into our hearts, into our soul, and that you would divide us, Lord, that you would go to the innermost regions of our hearts through your word, dear Lord, and that you would change us. Change us to live for you. Lord, I pray that in this moment that I would very much diminish and that you would very much come forth, Lord Jesus, and proclaim your gospel to your people. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins and, Lord, that you would be merciful to me and that you would give us grace to hear your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this with me. If I was going to ask you this, what's the hardest thing that you've ever done in your life? What would be the answer to that question? Just think about it. And I'm just going to recommend just go over some of the answers we might have. Maybe it's school, right? Whether it's elementary or junior high or high school or a graduate degree or a postgraduate degree, sometimes school seems like the most difficult thing that we could ever do in our life. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes it might be work. You ever had that hard job that just sort of rubbed the wrong way? And when you went in, you didn't want to go in, and you, as soon as you went in, you were ready to leave? Sometimes work could be the hardest thing. It seems like the hardest thing that we ever do. Or maybe you've tried to start your own business, and you've worked hard, and you try to start your own business and run your own business, and it doesn't go very well. And this is one of the hardest things that you ever do in your whole life. We could go on and on thinking about the hardest things. Maybe it was training. Maybe you were in the military, and boy, that training period, whether it be boot camp or whatever, that was hard. But let me suggest to you another option. What's the hardest thing that you'll ever do in your life? For me, it's being a godly husband and a godly father, a godly man, day in, day out, through thick and thin, and the hard times and the good times, and by the end of my life, coming to say, "Lord, I love you." That's one of the hardest things I think I've ever done in my whole life, is to live day in, day out, as a godly man. Maybe you're thinking the same thing. To be a godly woman, day in, day out, thick and thin, through the hard times and the good times, to be a godly woman, someone who loves my husband and loves my children and loves my church family and my grandchildren like I ought. A godly man and a godly woman, I think, is the hardest thing that we'll do day in, day out, through the rest of our lives. Now, why do I begin like that? Because I want us to be godly men and godly women, day in, day out. And how do we do that? Well, God does it. He takes this heart that's cold and hard and dead, and he puts life into this heart. How does he do that? He does it through his gospel. He does it through his word. I want you to look with me again here at Luke chapter 2, verse 20, and listen to the shepherds as they leave this situation. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Something had changed in their heart. I want to get to verse 20, and I want you to come along with me. How are we going to get to verse 20? How are we going to get to the place that our hearts are glorifying and praising God even as we're going back to the cold, dark field that night? Well, 2 points that will help us lead us through this text of Scripture. Number one, how do we get to that place that our heart is made alive? First, listen when heaven speaks. Listen when heaven speaks. Number two, embrace the one the shepherds seek. Listen when heaven speaks. Embrace the one that the shepherds seek. Let us begin this journey. Now, to begin this journey, we have to go back to when the angel Gabriel announced to Mary what was coming. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel Gabriel said this, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." So this is what's going to happen. Now I want you to pay special note, special attention to how Gabriel describes this one who's going to be born. Verse 32. "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." On down to verse 35. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Let me ask you a question. If you heard that announcement, what type of birth and ceremony around the birth would you expect? If you heard that announcement, this is some of the things that I wrote down. Maybe a royal birth. Maybe a palace would be involved. Maybe a royal declaration, the king is born. Maybe even a feast and a celebration would take place. Now, last week, we actually learned about how he did enter the world. Was it anything like that at all? I titled this, "Jesus Had an Earthy Entrance." Earthy. What do you mean by that? Well, read with me, verse 6, chapter 2. "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." A poor couple, away from home, staying in a stable, a birth among the animals. A baby was born, swaddled, and laid in a manger. You could smell the animals. It was about as earthy as you think it could get. Now, let me ask you, was this the birth, the circumstances that we anticipated when we heard Angel Gabriel say, "The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to be born"? Was this the birth that we thought was going to happen? No, it isn't. Well, was this humble birth an accident? No, it isn't. It's very much on purpose. Alfred Edersheim, in his volume called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, wrote this. "If we think of Jesus as the Messiah from heaven, and he is, the surroundings of outward poverty, so far from detracting, seem most congruous to his divine character. You see, earthly splendor would here seem like tawdry tinsel, and the utmost simplicity, like the clothing of the lilies, was far surpassed all of the glory of Solomon." His simple birth proclaims his glory. That's what he's trying to say. Jesus had a very earthy birth. He was born in a stable. Now, let me ask you this question. We should not judge a book by its cover. Is that correct? Yes. That is correct. And we shouldn't judge a birth by circumstances. Is that correct? That's absolutely right. We can't judge Jesus' birth based upon it being in a stable. Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a birth by its circumstances. Did you know that this truth right here is one that sets Christianity apart from almost every religion in the world? Bethlehem does. Some of the things. What do you mean by that? You see, in all other religions, man makes their way to God. Some way, somehow, they have to improve and work their way to God. But in Bethlehem, God comes to man. God comes to man. The only religion in the world in which God comes to man is the true religion, Christianity. In Bethlehem, when God comes, he does not come as a tyrant. What does he come? As a servant, to seek and save the lost. No other religion has that. And when he comes, the birth is just the beginning, because he has come to die so that those who believe in him might live. It's so unique. Only God can make this story. And he did. Now I have a question for you. If God was willing to be born in a stable, do you think he is willing to walk with you in the messiness of your life? Absolutely. Do you think that he would ever abandon you in 2024? Absolutely not. You see, he came to save us. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Could the birth of Jesus get any more earthy than in a stable? I say no, that's my first inclination, but maybe it can. Maybe it can. Well, you say, well, why do you say that? Well, who were the first people, besides Joseph and Mary, to find out about the birth of the Savior? Shepherds, right? Verse 8, read it with me. So we're leaving the stable, and now where do we go? We go to the field. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, when you read that, especially in that Greek word, they were shepherds, they were out in the field, that means they were spending the night under the stars. They were laying in the field with their flocks. That's pretty earthy, isn't it? Here they are, they're out in the middle of the field, and we know what's going to happen, right? An angel of the Lord is going to come. But let me ask you this question here. When we move from the stable to the field and we consider shepherds, what type of people were the shepherds considered to be? Low. They were ceremonially unclean. They had to do dirty jobs every single day, and so that made them ceremonially unclean. And because of that, they were often outcast and loners, and the people of the town usually did not even trust the shepherds whatsoever. But what's about to happen to these shepherds? Verse 9. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, up until this point, this is what I've been trying to do, to show you how earthy the birth of Jesus has been portrayed by Luke. In a stable, in fields. But at verse 9, something happens. Heaven meets earth. You see how that happens? Here we have the Savior is born, and it's very humble and in a stable, but there's going to be opinion given from heaven. And here we see it in verse 9. Now, let me ask you this question. Why in the world would God reveal the birth of his son to shepherds? What's the answer to that question? You know what came to my mind? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. God does what we don't think he's going to do. Now, why does he do something like that? Why does God do something like that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he tells them this, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, and not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. If God was willing to announce his birth, the birth of his son, the Savior, to shepherds, would he be willing to whisper the gospel into your ear this morning? We can't go so low that he can't come down and get us. That's who he is. He loves to take the weak things of the world and to bring them up and use them for his glory. So in 2023, I want you to know that your sins of 2023 can be covered by the blood of the Lamb. And you can walk into 2024 in the power of the Holy Spirit through the Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a message from heaven that's coming our way here. And now let us look at the messenger there, verse 9. And the angel of the Lord, God chose to announce to the shepherds the birth of Jesus, the Savior, through an angel. Let me ask you this question. What is an angel? A messenger and a minister. Minister meaning servant, not a pastor. A messenger and a minister. They do God's bidding. And where do they usually dwell, or what do we think about angels? In heaven, right? In the realm of God. What happens when an angel encounters a person in Scripture? Almost always. Great fear, right? Great fear. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it that when heaven meets earth, and we're a part of it, great fear overcomes us? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Good answer. Let me say this. There was once a time when God and man walked together, and it was not full of fear, it was full of joy. There was once a time when heaven and earth came together, and it was the greatest delight of man and God. But since that time that sin and rebellion entered into the world, every time that heaven meets earth, what happens? Fear. Fear. Because we're undone. The presence of God doesn't bring joy anymore. It brings fear because we have fallen from what we were meant to be. We have rebelled against our Creator. Now, do the shepherds need to fear on this night? And the answer to that question is no. Why not? Because the angel is bringing a message that will reverse what happened in the garden. He will turn it around. What is that message? Well, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So I want you to anticipate the message with me. Have you ever been sitting at your desk or in your house and this happens? I have. And what happens to me? I jump just like that. Or maybe you're sitting there and you look up and there is somebody standing and you never even heard them enter in. Have you ever had that happen to you? I have. I think that's maybe a taste of what the shepherds felt when the angel came, right? Here you are. I don't know how soundly they were sleeping under the stars that night, but let's say they were sleeping, right? And the angel of the Lord, he comes, and the glory of God surrounds them. And what do? I think they do this. Whoa, they are scared out of their mind. And the angel says, "Do not fear." Why? Because I don't bring judgment. I bring good news and great joy to you. Now the question is, what is the good news that brings great joy? Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I want you to hear that again. Unto you, shepherds, you out here in this field, today is born a Savior in the city of David, and he is Christ the Lord. Friends, I want you to hear that message once again. A Savior
has been born for you. No matter how low you are, there's a Savior that's been born for you. And his name is Jesus. And God has made a promise that through this one, he will save the world. And the person who's made the promise is able to accomplish it because he is the King, Christ, the Lord. How can I worship my way from 2023 and into 2024? That's the question I'm after this morning. I hope you are too. I want you to remember two things. I want you to remember who you are. You are a person created in the image of God, but you have fallen short of God's glory. You are a sinner. That's the first truth that we need to worship our way from 2023 into 2024. You are a person created in the image of God, but who you are, a sinner. Now, I have that in common with you, and you have that in common with me. There's nobody that came through that door this morning that's not a sinner. That's who we are by nature. But hear the promise and remember not only who we are, but who God is. He is the creator and the savior, and he has sent his son to save his people from their sins. How do we worship our way from 23 to 24? We realize who we are, and we give that to God. We confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we worship our way from 23 to 24. Now, as we studied through Exodus, we got to Exodus chapter 15 after the crossing of the Red Sea. And what did the people of Israel do? They sang a song. Now here we have angels announcing the birth of the Savior in Bethlehem. And then what happens? They sing a song. But before they sing, the angels slip something in. Look at verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." I want you to hold on to that truth. We're going to come back to that truth, but I want you to remember that the angel told them this before the heavenly host sang. But now, after the message has been given, verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" Here we have a glimpse, just a glimpse of heaven's song. So here we have on earth, a baby is born in a stable. So it's a very earthy birth. But what is heaven's opinion on the birth of the baby in a stable? Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. A baby born to a virgin. Poor people, husband and wife, they sheltered in a stable. They wrapped their little baby in clothes and laid him in a manger. But the halls of heaven shook with the voice of the heavenly host saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." You see the contrast there? This is the message of heaven about what happened on earth. Utmost glory, praise, and wonder. Listen to this. In December of 1914, after 5 months of fighting in the trenches of World War I, a remarkable thing took place. 100,000 British and German soldiers ceased their hostilities on Christmas. Now, it started when the German soldiers began to light candles in their trenches and put candles on their Christmas trees. And then they began singing Christmas carols. And then the British soldiers responded in kind, singing Christmas carols. And then they started giving greetings back and forth to one another. And here we were in the middle of the field, in the middle of the trenches where the artillery was once booming. Silence fell. And singing erupted on that Christmas in 1914. The contrast could be hardly greater. In the midst of tragedy and war, there's a Christmas truth. In fact, some of the soldiers made their way into no man's land in between the two trenches and started giving little gifts to one another. And the ceasefire went on, and they took the dead bodies And they would have joint burial services between the British and the Germans there in World War I. That contrast was almost incredible. They were silence on the Western Front. But the contrast that took place on that first Christmas, when a baby was born in a stable, but that baby was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the angels sang about it, was much greater than on that contrast in 1914. Much greater than that. Heavenly hosts sang of the newborn king. Let us note who first praised God when Christ was born. They were angels and not men. Angels who had never sinned and required no savior. Angels who had not fallen and needed no redeemer, no atoning blood. The first hymn to the honor of God manifest in the flesh was sung by a great company of the heavenly host. They know the blessedness of heaven and the privilege of an open door into it. Now that brings us to the end of our first point, a message from heaven. Now let us go seek the one who the shepherds sought as well. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us." 2 points I want to bring from this verse here in 15. Number one is, who is it that gave the shepherds a message? It was the Lord, right? It came from the lips of angels, but it was a message from the Lord. Number two, how did they respond to this message from heaven? Have you ever planned a vacation? Have you ever wanted to go back home? I have. You sort of anticipate it, and you long to go, and you delight, and you think about it, and it just gets better and better and better the closer it gets. I think that's exactly what happened in a moment in the hearts of the shepherds. Let us go see this that has been done and made known to us. Now, verse 16, they not only delighted in the prospect of going, but when they went, look at verse 16, and they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Let's read that again and think about what the angel said. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Now go back over here to verse 12. Remember, the angel said, a Savior will be born today. And he says this, "This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." If the shepherds had left their field and they had made their way into Bethlehem, but they found no Mary, no Joseph, and no baby, what do you think they would have thought about the message that the angel gave to them? Now, I don't know. But that's not what happened. The shepherds went into Bethlehem, and just exactly like the angel said, there was Mary and Joseph and the baby. How do you think their hearts felt when they entered into that stable and found things exactly the way the angel had said, the same angel that told them a Savior was born for you today? Friends, God never, ever asks us to believe something that is not true. He always calls us to believe truth. And when the angel said, a Savior is born, that was true. And when he says, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, that was true. And when the shepherds went to see this thing, they found out that it was true. What do you think that did to their hearts? Verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told concerning this child. Think about that for a second. They peered over that manger. They saw the baby just like the angel said, and with their eyes. And what happens next? Their mouth can't hold it in. Have you ever been on vacation with children? Maybe you went to the mountains. Maybe you went to an amusement park. Maybe you went to the beach. Or maybe somewhere else that was just awesome. And on the way back, if they're not sleeping, what's the conversation in the car? Dad, do you remember this? Hey, Dad, what about that? Oh, wasn't that? Oh, that was the greatest. Did you see that? We just had a blast. Their hearts are so full, and I'll be honest, sometimes I'm the same way, that they can't help but speaking. When the shepherds saw that baby, that Savior, they could not help but to talk about what they just saw. Now, have you ever thought about evangelism before? What's the heart of true evangelism? A heart of worship. Evangelism is merely the worship of the heart boiling over that can't be contained. Have you ever seen a cup with an Alka-Seltzer put in it? Plop, plop, and fizz, fizz. Or those little volcanoes that the kids make with the baking soda and vinegar? Or maybe a fountain in the middle of a town square. That is the heart of a worshiper. They can't hold it in any longer. And they just can't help but to tell you how good and how great their God is. That's the shepherds right here. How do people respond to authentic heart worship, people talking about God? Verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. When the shepherds tell them authentically what had happened, they're just amazed at what takes place. When you talk to somebody from your heart about what God has done for you, it doesn't have to be complicated, just sincere. It will touch the coldest heart. When you tell them that God loves them, just like he loved me, a sinner, and he will take you, and he will hold you in his arms, and he will say, it's going to be okay. You tell somebody that authentically from your heart, now it doesn't mean they're going to believe or not believe. I promise you it'll make an impression on them. Evangelism is not complicated. It's just having a heart of worship and letting it overflow to others around you. But there is somebody else here this evening that also saw and observed. And what is that? And who is that? Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. As I was studying through this passage, I asked myself, Lord, why do you put that verse there for me? Sometimes it felt like, I don't even know. But as I got to thinking about it, it also says it over there in verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. You ever get a greeting card or a thank you card or a birthday card or an anniversary card or a get well card? And maybe you read it, and it's just so special. That card is so special to you. And you put it in that special place that you keep a card, right? And then as the months go by and as the years go by and as the decades go by, that special place gets more full and more full and more full. You ever had that happen? And you ever think to yourself, what am I going to do with all these cards? Because I don't want to get rid of them. And yet they're overflowing my special place where all these cards are, right? That's sort of like Mary taking every little bit that happens in Jesus' life, his birth, his childhood, his words, his works, his death, his resurrection. All these little treasures are beautiful in and of themselves, just like those little cards. But what makes it really beautiful is when you see a stack of cards from a decade, and that's how much somebody expresses their love to you. And you take the whole life of Jesus, and it stacks up, and it's more beautiful together than it is separately, because it is his death, burial, resurrection, and life that brings us salvation. And that's what Mary did. She took every little treasure and put them into her heart, and then she organized them, she pondered them. And she put them together, and what happens? This beautiful thing called the life of Jesus Christ. In this way, I think Mary is the first Christian theologian. She takes the points of Christ's life, puts them together, and sees the beauty of the whole. I think that's why the Lord put that there, just to remind us of how to put the whole life together and treasure this as an example for us in our hearts. Now we've come to the place that we were looking for. When we used to put up hay on the farm, We would spend all day taking these square bales, and we would stack them up on a trailer, and we would put them in the barn, and we would put them up high. And then when finally we got to that very last bale of hay and we put it up into the stack in the barn, what would somebody inevitably say? That's the one we were looking for. That's the one we were looking for. Verse 20, that's the verse we're looking for this morning. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now, in this last few minutes, I want you to see something. You see, heaven's song has come into the heart of the shepherds. Look with me again at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I want you to take note of those words. They were praising God and they were glorifying God. That is the heart of the angels in heaven at the birth of Jesus. Now, go back down to verse 20 and listen to the words. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Same two words. For all that they had heard and seen, and it has been told to them. You see, the shepherds had the song of heaven in their hearts. I think that's amazing. What do we want to do? We want to leave 2023 with the song of heaven in our hearts. We want to enter 2024 with the song of heaven in our hearts. It's so important. You see, the night is still dark. The air is still cold. The stars are still shining. The sheep still need tending. Nothing has changed except for one thing, their hearts. 2023 will come to a close, and 2024 will arise, and you will step right back in to the life that you were living. Your Mondays and your Tuesdays and Wednesdays, well, they will look very similar. And just like the shepherds, the nights will still be cold, and the sheep will still need tending, and your hardships, they will come, but something can change. And what is that? It's your heart. You can have the song of heaven in your heart as you walk into 2024. I want to leave you with a question. Why are Sundays so important? Because on Sundays, the people of God are reminded that we sing the songs of the angels. We leave here glorifying and praising God, not because of what we have done, but because of what He has done. You see, heaven has a message. For you, this day, a Savior is born in the city of David. And what is our response? Let us sing the song of the angels, to give glory to God in the highest, to walk out of 2023, to walk out of those doors and out of this day and out of this year into the next year, singing the song of heaven, the song of angels in our heart. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. He's come for you to save you. So let us worship our way out of 2023 and into 2024. That's why Sundays are so important. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your precious word. I want to thank you for a message from heaven and that a Savior has been born today. Lord, that day so many years ago, in which shepherds were the first to hear the song of angels. And I pray this morning that you would place that song within our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through the word of God, that you would allow us to sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. I pray for every person here, Lord, that they would be blessed with this song in their hearts. And Lord, if today is a day that someone here has heard the angels sing sincerely for the first time, I pray that they might come, bow down, and worship you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.